Kodesh Shabbat is that we ordered they didn't have the quantity that we needed. So in the meantime, we made some copies of the first part, which is the Sicha. Just a little bit of some background notes regarding Kodesh Shabbat. It's almost like 10 years that we have the series of these Hashkafa Shiurim. And throughout the years, we covered the basic, all of the classics. I mean, in Olam HaTorah and Olam HaShkafa, it never ended, really. And very appropriate for this time that we should take a little bit to say the Chodesh Avodah. The Chodesh Avodah is a very difficult sefer, just on its own. Just the Loshon Kodesh is very difficult, and many, many different perushim throughout the years have been written regarding the Chodesh Avodah. Everybody is familiar that on Chumash, among the different Rishonim, that there is a parish that's called Irabeinu Bachaya or some sort of Rabbeinu Bachya. So it doesn't make a difference, Rabbeinu Bachaya or Rabbeinu Bachya. The Chodesh Avodah's name was also Rabbeinu Bachya. Similar to Rabbeinu Bachaya, which is the parish of Chumash. Rabbeinu Bachaya, the parish of Chumash, was later, was after. There was Rabbeinu Bachya ben Osher. As far as the Chodesh Avodah was concerned, was Rabbeinu Bachya ben Yosef ibn Pekude. Ibn Pekude. Ibn usually means the son. There's Gersoy's Pekude with a bays, and there's some with his Pekude with a pay, and some is with a bays. Just to give you an idea, we're talking about one of the early Rishonim in Spain, as early as the 11th century. We're talking about in the 1000s. All right, which basically, he was a Dayan, he was a philosopher. You realize in that time, philosophy was something that was very, very prevalent, and especially, you know, in the Arabic culture. The Arabs had a lot of philosophers at that time, and a lot of the climate was in philosophy, and he was ranked among the very high, also, of course, Jewish philosophers. Utilizing his koyach of philosophy in order to promote, of course, the Munim Bashem, that was his main thing. He was the first one that mentioned the name of Aristotle by name, in terms of rabbinic literatures we're talking about. The first one who mentioned, Rambam mentions also, but he was before that. He is the first one that mentions Aristotle by name. In many things he agrees with him, and many things does not agree with him. Not our purpose not to go into these issues at all. He lived in Saragossa in Spain, and in the Sefer Chodesh Avodah was about written around in the 1040, 1050, around that area. That's the estimated time and period that he wrote the Sefer Chodesh Avodah. The Chodesh Avodah, which basically translated in English, means it's the duties of the heart, which is the chayv, the obligations and the duties of the heart, and he points out in his Hagdama that the purpose of the work is to teach the Musar of Yiddishkeit. We have Tayag Mitzvahs, but talking about the ethical portion of Torah, to promote that and to bring it out in a very systematic way. And he argues that Chodesh Avodah, the duty of the heart, he says, in a certain sense, is even more important, he says, which is like the intellect and the emotion. We're talking about Chodesh Avodah, we're talking about the heart, it's not just the heart which is here on the left side. We're talking about the leg, which is the emotion. We're talking about the intellect. All of that, he says, should receive, he says, priority over the mitzvahs that a person performs only with his devarim, with his limbs. Which the Chodesh Avodah, maybe he's trying to tell us that in Shemiras HaMitzvahs, it's not enough, of course, to do the mitzvahs mechanically. It's not enough to do the mitzvahs mechanically. But as a matter of fact, his lotion is, he says, that the intellect and the heart, the emotion should receive, he says, should receive priority over the mitzvahs that are performed with only with the Eivorim. And he says, furthermore, he says, that the mitzvahs that a person really performs, primarily with the Eivorim, are truly dependent, he says, in no small way, are dependent, he says, upon the participation of the heart. Because in many cases, it's the heart really that drives a person whether to do this or whether to do that. So therefore, we have to really understand and to develop, he says, the proper insight is that the heart should really be in the right place, as is said. The usual style of the Chodesh Avodah, Rabbeinu Bachya, is that all of the theories, all the theories that it presents, or all of the tenets that it presents, he works it out on the basis of three types of sources. He tries to back it up with three types of sources. Number one is, of course, sources in the Psukim itself, in Tanakh, whether in Chumash, Nevi'im, or Ksuvim. That's the basic source. Otherwise, he says to find sources as well in Chazal. He says that's the second thing. And then also he says the source that he uses is the intellect, which are many, many times an intellect, of course, that is founded. Of the Ashkota Satoira, a person can figure out really what is the right thing to do also. So these are the three things in which he basically, the sources that he uses for many of the tenets that he promotes. Let me just mention that the Chovos Avodos, he divided into Shiorim, into gates. The various different gates, he calls them Shiorim, and they are divided basically into 10 different gates. You have Shar HaYichud, which is the gate of unity. Basically in that Shar, the Chovos Avodos devotes his attention in the belief, in the existence and the unity of Hashem. And he says there, in Shar HaYichud, again here's where he's wearing the hat of philosophy, because the Chovos Avodos is of the opinion that Emunah Hashem should not only be based upon basically Mesoira belief that we were Mekabel from our others and so, the belief in one God and so on and so forth, but also Chovos Avodos, great man that he was, it's not for everybody, but he coming from his standpoint, that a person also should work out his belief through investigation, which is other form called chakira, to be able really, in his mind, to find proof in the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he devotes this really is the Shar HaYichud. The Shar HaYichud, which is the gate of unity, that a person, according to Chovos Avodos' contention is, that the belief in the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not merely be on faith, but should also be backed up. Should also be backed up by conviction, based upon, as he calls it, rationalistic investigation. Rationalistic investigation, based upon Chakira, he says, and he proceeds to present many examples of arguments, to prove Kodesh Baruch Hu's existence, and goes on to elaborate what it means, Avdus Hashem, what unity of Hashem goes on to mean. Again, this is not going to be our topic. We're choosing Shar HaBitochin, which is very, very important in everyday life. Everything is important, actually, of the Sefer. We decided to choose Shar B'Tochen to explain. The next Shar, he calls the Shar HaBechina. Shar HaBechina means is the gates of recognition, which means that it behooves a person to recognize Hashem's wisdom and goodness, he says, as it takes place in the universe. So we look at the universe, not always do we recognize it. That is a chiyuv of a person. And that which he goes on to point out, how we're able to see it, to open our eyes, to be able to recognize Hashem's goodness, and to recognize Hashem's chokhmah in the universe. So that's basically Shar Bechina. Then of course comes Shar Avodas Elokim. Shar Avodas Elokim, of course, is the obligation, achia, for a person to commit himself totally in service, he says, to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and so on, based upon what the Torah tells us, other things which is not before the Torah, what our seichel tells us, what we have to do in terms of service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the fourth Shar happens to be, which is Shar HaBitochin. The Shar HaBitochin, which is basically the Shar, which is the gate of faith, which meaning trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me just say this at the outset, that the word Bitochin is not a simple word to translate. Yes, literal translation is Bitochin, which means trust in Hashem. Exactly what Bitochin means and what the extent of that achray is, there are actually four different shittas in terms different of opinions in terms of what bitochen means, what a yid is supposed to really believe in terms of being a baal bitochen. And as we go along, Bez Hashem, we're going to point out these differences. The Chovos Avodos is one of the primary opinions of what it means in Shar HaBitochen, as we're going to find out what bitochen means. Again, loosely translated, of course, it means, as we say, faith. You have to realize, being that he was that early, going before him, you're basically going to come, you're going to almost border on the tkuf of the goyim, which were way before the Rishayim. So he basically draws many times upon Rabbeinu Sadia Goy. He draws many times upon Sadia Goy, and it's in interesting also that the Chayvus Avodos from time to time, he even brings certain opinions from Arab philosophers. Interesting. But the Kudah is, but he believed it. It's not the point that he's quoting them, because they said it, it's true. He just mentioned it, I guess he gave being that was written up, it was already written by Arab philosophers, so therefore he would bring that this is what they have said, but he didn't accept it just because they said it. But he's telling us just there is a source which already is out in the world, and this is on, and he points out whatever the situation is. So it's very interesting. He brings, of course, the Goyim, the Rabbeinu Sadia Goyim, and so on. He brings Rabbeinu Yoina ibn Janach. It's interesting, these are great people, rarely heard of, you know, certainly not in the daily learning, you don't come across it. Rabbeinu Yoina ibn Janach, someone who was born in Cordova in 990. And also died in Saragossa, in Spain. And he also, Janach is in Arabic, is an Arabic source, origination. And basically in Arabic it means the winged one, the one with wings. And the Yoin also means a dove. So, Ben Yoin ibn Janach. He brings them, and basically the Ben Yoin dedicated himself to the study of Digduk. Digduk, Chumash basically, Chumash, Tanakh, and basically going into the grammar, going into the Digduk and so on and so forth. And so he would bring him also from time to time. Let me just mention that the Chayvus Avodos, as is, the Chayvus Avodos as is a sefer that in a later era, I mean just coming down, for example, going to the world of Chassidus, for example, you take Rabbi Yisroel, the Kozhin Samagit, famous Samagit of Kozhin, Rabbi Yisroel, the Baal Avodos Yisroel, the Kozhin Samagit, for example, would say that the Chayvus Avodos was the foundation upon which his Emuna came from. Kozhin Samagit said, the great Madrega, the Kodesh Magid, he said that the Madrega of Emunah that he had, foundation of the Emunah that he had, he said he took it out of the Sefer Chayvus Avodos, and it is known as written in the Sefer Chutam Shulish that in the Chassam Sefer, and Agdoma before he would give his shir, some would give his shir every day in his yeshiva. So as Agdoma, every shir started out before he went to the shir would be learning some Chayvus Avodos. With the custom of the Chassam Sefer, and he tied that, of course, that this is a major source to bring a person to Avodas Hashem. Again, the reason it is, let us say, for lack of a better word, not maybe as popular as many other resources, simply because it's not an easy limud. It's a limud that you have to really work at, and which is evident by the many different perushim again that have been written on the Chayvus Avodos, going back from very, very early till even later, mamish later, not too long ago. And you have to realize that Rav Shlomo Salanter, who was the head of, of course, the Muslim movement, it became mamish a primer of Rav Shlomo Salanter, to study it with Hasmode, and so on. Jews all over the place, even the Chayvus, who were really looking for a sefer to really sink their teeth in. This Chayvus Avodos is something which throughout the years has not become outdated, certainly not, and it has the same appeal and the same force as it always had. And throughout the generations, the precepts and the yesodos of Chayvus Avodos have been, if one can use the nuclei, basically, has been the yesodos upon which to form the writings of Musar. I have here a fascinating lotion of the Chidah, who says that a person who learns Chayvus Avodos, he says, first of all, the first thing that hits you is the extreme Kedusha of the Chayvus Avodos, extreme holiness, he says, and he says, clearly his words live on. They mention that the Chayvus Avodos was written in Arabic, not in Lashon Kodesh. It was written in Arabic, but written in Arabic with Hebrew letters. So it's not written in Arabic like they write it there. It was the alphabet, but the alphabetized words of Lashon Kodesh were Arabic words, so you'll see all the Lashon Kodesh letters, but you won't know what they mean, because these are, it's written in Arabic, using Lashon Kodesh, there are copies of, in many editions of Chayvus Avodos, have copies of the Ksav Yad, which you clearly see, the Lashon Kodesh, you can read it, but you know what it means, unless you know Arabic. It was written in Arabic, and the reason was very simply, because it was written for the benefit of the masses of the time, and that was the Lashon, so like today many people speak English, so then, that was the language. So he wrote it in that language to make sure that it reaches that the masses are able to do it. And being that it was written in Arabic, here comes the thing. Therefore, it had to be translated. Primary translator was Rabbi Yehuda ibn Tibon, right? Was the translator. He translated it in 1161. That was the first translation. It was also translated a little bit later by Rabbi Yosef Kimchi. The Radak is Rabbeinu David Kimchi. Father of the Radak is Rabbi Yosef Kimchi. Yosef Kimchi's translation, though, was more of a loose translation. It was not such an exact translation, someone who knows Arabic would be able to tell that, as was Yehuda ibn Tibon's translation. And as we see that the Velt has accepted all editions of Chovos Avos that we have, of course, the Hebrew Chovos Avos is the translation of Yehuda ibn Tibon. That has been, and again, it's such a hard Hebrew, it's translated in Hebrew, but the Hebrew needs translation. So the Hebrew itself is translation, so you have, you know, the different Perushim, and they're Machloikas sometimes. The Machloikas say, no, he meant this, and some say, no, this is what he meant. So that itself lends itself open to interpretation from time to time. It should mention that the first edition of Chovos Avos was printed in Italy. It was printed in Naples in 1490, and since then was translated in many, many languages. It was translated in Latin, translated into German, translated, of course, into English, and so on and so forth. So it's a sad thing that we don't know too much about his personal life, other than the fact that he was a dayan and of Saragossa. And as we say, that he wrote Chovos Avos in the year 1040. It is not, that's not all that he wrote, by the way. But what's handed down to us, and what we have in print, is the Chovos Avos. The other thing, the other Sfarim that he wrote, is a sefer called Toiris HaNefesh. There's a Sfarim that is called Baruch Hinafshi, and so on. He was also a Paiter. He wrote a lot of different poems of tefillah, and so on, which was also a separate talent that he had. So he goes down as a philosopher, goes down as a dayan, he goes down as one of the greatest Baal Musar of all time. And of course, as we said, as a Paiter as well. Let me just quote you a few words that he writes in the Akdama, which brought him, prompted him, so to push him to write the Sefer Chovos Avos. So he says, interesting, it's kedai to hear. Ayanti, he says, b'sifrei hakadmoinim, shehoyu achrei anshei hatalmud. What I noticed, he says, that Sfarim that were written after the Gemara all devote themselves to mitzvahs, to ritual practice. Film, so on. You have Sefer HaMitzvahs, you have different kinds of Sefer HaMitzvahs, and so on and so forth. These are the Targum Mitzvahs. Whether the other Mitzvahs go into practice, Machloek is exactly how the Targum Mitzvahs are made up, and so on. But I found out and saw that HaChochma Azois, he says, but the Chochma, which is Chovos Avos, Shehinichu, this was sort of dropped. V'loi Chibruho, he says, B'Sefer Shehu Koilil, Sherosheho, Ipirkeho, V'Timhati Al Zetema Gedoilu. I was very surprised that no one devoted themselves to write about a little about the emotion, about the intellect, about the hisayris behind the mitzvahs, and so on, and the ashkofa behind the mitzvahs, and ashkofa avodas Hashem, and all of these things. And heretofore, write the Chovos Avos, I saw that they did not devote themselves to that. So he says, Achamarti Belibi. Shema, he says, it could be that maybe Chovos Avos, he says, may not really be a mitzvah per se. It may only be something admirable. Maybe that's what they didn't write about it. He said, I couldn't understand why nobody wrote about Chovos Avos, because maybe they thought it's only Miderech HaMusar. Achechipashti, he says, but I searched al Chovos Avos min HaSechel, number one, we said, from the intellect, min HaKosov, from Pesukim, min HaKabola, he says, im anachnu chayom lemoiloi, umotzosi shem yisoidei kol ha-mitzvahs. Chovos Avos says that duties of the heart is really not just something which is nice, which is a good thing to do, but a matter of fact, it's fundamental. It's decided, he says, of Kol HaMitzvahs. So, Akoponim, so he was the one who really brought out the importance of Chovos Avos to put that on top of the mechanical, the mitzvahs done by the Maise, through the Evarim, and so on and so forth. And just to mention, of course, one of the great Sfarim, of course, later, a few hundred years later, which is the Sefer Reishis Chochma. The Sefer Reishis Chochma from the Talmid HaRizal and so on, from the great Balam Kabbalah, the Sefer Reishis Chochma writes that during Aseret Yemechuva, he would devote teaching and learning, he says, from the Sefer Chovos Avos. If a person really wants to find a Sefer, to really bear a person to Tshuva, writes the Sefer Reishis Chochma that he took snippets, couldn't learn the whole Sefer in Aseret Yemechuva, but he would take kitzer from the various different Sharim to learn throughout. And as we know that the Beis Yosef, of course, the Mechaber de Shulchan Aruch, who lived in Tzfas, also came from Spain, by the way, and who lived in Tzfas, was zeichet to have a magid, which was a malach who came to teach him, Soides HaTorah, and the teachings of what he learned from the malach was transcribed or recorded in the sefer called Magid Meishorim. And the Magid Meishorim, in Parshas Behar, the Magid tells the Beis Yosef that every day he should learn some Chodesh Avodos. So, in the sefer Magid Meishorim, the Malach comes to the Beis Yosef. The Malach tells the Beis Yosef, see to it that your Kireya is here every day. And he says, learn Chodesh Avodos, lahachnia hayetzer hara, ulahashpila mitoikvoi. If you want to find a proper tool, the Babel, he says, to weaken the Yetzer Hara, right, and to undo the strength of the Yetzer Hara, he's learned from the Sefer Chayvus HaAvodos. And again, as we pointed out, the people have heard that marshal many times, but that's in the Chayvus HaAvodos. One of the proofs that he says that, where a person can prove that there is a Boir HaOlam. And this has been discussed a lot by other philosophers as well, of course, whether they reject it or not, but this has come up always on the table, is creation by design. He is very, very clear, without any doubt in his mind, he says, it's incomprehensible that a world such as ours, he says, of its exactness, with all of its disciplines and the way that it works, primarily says, creation by design clearly is something which is a testimony that there is a creator. It's like De Velt used to say, if 100 monkeys type on a typewriter, they don't produce Hamlet. So it doesn't happen by accident. So it doesn't happen. Or the Big Bang Theory, as they say, is if two cars collide, they don't produce a limousine. So Mamela Rabbi says, so these things to have a world coming out of just by accident, it's inconceivable. And the marshal that he uses is, the marshal is that if someone was walking around carrying an inkwell, and he trips and the bottle of ink spills onto a piece of paper, it's inconceivable, he says, that it would fall into place and read out a beautiful poem. The ink would not fall into the exact place, line for line, word for word, producing a beautiful poem. The odds are too much against it. It would not happen. Never happen. So the fact, he says, just looking at the world as it is, that's just one of the ideas that he promotes over there. That's a Nishara Yehud, as he pointed out. Which he discusses in Shara B'Tochen, which we're going to see as we get to that, and that is the basic kasha, and that's a kasha that also has been discussed later on. The Maral discussed it as well, but of course preceded way, way by the Chodesh HaAvodos. That is an uncanny thing. We even who believe in the life after, in the afterlife. Of course, this world is just a hagdom, it's just a praisor, just a corridor. I mean, this is just very temporary. This is the tofel, secondary. The Ikar Avodah on this world is to be able to enjoy, be able to ultimately find a proper place in Olam Haba. How is it possible that in the Torah there's no mention of Olam Haba? There's no mention of Schar Bi Olam Haba. The Torah is the opposite. The Torah talks in, you follow my statutes, you follow my mitzvahs, the Torah talks about all the things of this world. The Torah talks about all the things of this world, all the various rewards of this world. The Torah mentions one thing, you know what? You're going to go to Gan Eden, and you're going to have there among the tzaddikim, and I had the tremendous pleasure that the Ramchal, right away in the opening parik, the first parik in Sil Shom, the Ramchal tells us that there's the pleasure of Olam Haba is on such a level, says the Ramchal, that there's nothing in this world that I'm able to point, or anybody that even comes close to appreciate, he says, now take all the pleasures of this world, he says, does not come close, even in the minuscule, he says, to what the great pleasures of Olam Haba is, because totally, it's not physical, it's spiritual, and therefore there's nothing in this world to be able to even compare. So how is it possible that such a, which is the Iker goal, the Iker Tachlis, and this is the ultimate, this is the eternal life of a person, which ultimately is Olam Haba, that there really is no mention about Schar of Olam Haba. So the Chodesh HaAvodos also discusses that as well. Interesting, he does not discuss Tchias HaMesim either. Apparently this was not his objective. Al-Kaponim, so this is what we had here in the Chodesh HaAvodos. Let me just mention also the Loshon that the Chidor writes, which we mentioned a moment ago, Yishem HaGdolim. He writes, HaKoyre B'Sifroi U'B'HaGdomosa. This writes the Chidor. Let's remember the Chidor who lived in the mid-1700s. The Chidor who lived in the mid-1700s. The Chidor writes, HaKoyre B'Sifroi. Someone who reads the Sefer U'B'HaGdomosa, Yireh will see Toikev Kiddushosai, will have to recognize very clearly, he says, the power of the Kiddusha of the Chayvus Avodas, Udvarov Chayim V'Kayomim V'Hoyu L'Moiris, and his words live on. Chayim V'Kayom V'Hoyu L'Moiris, and enlighten the world, and so on. He points out, where he mentioned also, the Chidor writes this, by the way, that this Reishis Chochma, that the Baal Reishis Chochma, he says, it brings somebody also, Harav Tzedo L'Derech, also would be Mekatzer, in short form, learn the Asar of Prokim, he says, the 10th Prokim of during the Aseris in Mechuba. So that's something which is very, very interesting. Time is moving on, so as we go on, we'll discuss more about the Chayvus Avodas himself. What we have over here is Rabbi Yisrael. Let's take a look, just to start with the Shara B'Tochen. Let's take a look over here. We start with the Shara B'Tochen. Let's start a little bit. As we see here, we start with actually a Shara of the Shara B'Tochen before he even goes into the Shara B'Tochen, to the gate of B'Tochen. The Chayvus Avodas starts with sort of like Hagdomah. So the gates themselves proceed with a Hagdomah. So it gives us a little bit of Hagdomah. This is a whole lesson in itself. And this is just very, very, just as part of it. It could take a long time. I'm not sure we're even going to go through the whole Hagdomah, because we may not get to the Iker. But upon him, just to get a feel of it, Shara Vi, Shara B'Tochen, which means this, of course, this is the gate, which means to have B'Tochen, which is the trust on Kodesh Baruch Hu. The B'Tochen Al Hulikim Yizbarach Levadu. That is basically what it means. We're talking about what we're going to be discussing, that a person has B'Tochen only in Kodesh Baruch Hu alone. So he starts like this. Omer HaMechaber. He says, Mipnei Shekoda Mamoreinu Bechiev Kabbalah Savoides Elikim. What the Chayvus Avodas really is trying to explain to you, if someone did, if you followed the Chayvus Avodas from the beginning, because this is Shara Ravi, right? So this Shara Aleph, as we said, that's the Shara of Unity, right? Yichud Elikim. And you learn Shara Bei, Shara Gimel, you might ask, he says, why did I put Shara B'Tochen here as number four? Why is this positioned over here? Because it's not just I had to discuss it, I just threw it in here because I have to discuss it. He said, no. He said, because what is the previous Shara? What was I discussing in the previous? In other words, gate number three. In the Shara Gimel, he says, I was discussing this called Shara Avodas Elokim. So the Avodas wants to tell you that B'Tochen is not just something which is a nice midah, it's something that's admirable, but that is essential, that is really part of Avodas Elokim. So B'Tochen, if you want to be an Oved Hashem, and every Yid understands Oved Hashem, of course, that is essential. If you want to be a true Oved Hashem, to be a true Oved Hashem, you have to study Shara B'Tochen. Without Shara B'Tochen, in other words, you cannot really be a true Oved Hashem. That's what he points out. Let's read again. Mipnei Shekodam Mamoreinu, being that we discussed previously, right? Dechiyim Kabbalah Sabayidus Elikim, being what he described previously, right? Dechiyim, that a person, of course, is supposed to accept upon himself to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want to be an Eved Hashem. Isi lohavi akrov. Therefore, I thought it quite proper to bring what should follow. So what's most appropriate? Mashvutzorach yoyser mikol hadvar. Look what he says. What more than anything? Because, by the way, Chayvus Avodas is the Shara Zah. Everything is tremendously important. But I thought, after Shara Avodas Elikim, what's Sorach Yoyser mikol hadvar lo Eved Elikim Yizbar. Somebody wants to be a true Eved Hashem, and want to be a true servant of Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is what you need. Vehu habitochen olav bechol devarav. Bechol devarav is pointed out in the Mefarshei Chayvus Avodas. Chol devarav means not only your spiritual life, in your secular life. When I say secular life, that means in your olam hazedika life, in your life on the day, in your world of parnosa, in every aspect of your life. Certainly in your religious life, as it's going to point out immediately. Avadin avadin bitochen is essential. To be an Eved Hashem. But b'chol devarav means in every area of your life. Now, there's no aspect of your life. There's no area of your life that you, as a yid, can be able to go on without b'tochen. In the life of the yid, b'tochen is a part and parcel of his being, mitchilosoi v'atsoi, from beginning to end. Bavur, as he points out, because b'tochen mashesh boi min ha'tayal yoyis hagdoilos, the tremendous benefits, I want to point out, he's going to want to point out, the tremendous benefits, that's what it's so... That way, it's not a luxury. It's a necessity, he says. Because all the benefits, binyan ha-Torah, see, binyan ha-Torah, as we said, that's in your religious life, and also binyan ha-Olam, and also in other affairs, your worldly affairs. So whatever area that you are being occupied at any given point in time, in every area, what you need is to have b'tochen is part of that life. Now, so he wants to go on to point out, how is it important in your religious life, Then he'll go on to explain why it's important also in your private life in every other area. So, he's the Deitai Helas, he says, in your Torah. Torah doesn't mean Dafkeh Limud HaTorah. He says, Betoy Rosa, what he means is, in his Avodas Hashem, in his religious life, in his Ruchnitzik life. The Tehelas is, first of all, he says, Menuchas Nafshoy, a person through Bitochen, it gives him tranquility, through Bitchoinoy, Alalekov Yizbora. First thing is like this. A person wants to be Matzliach in Ruchnitz, in every area. In Ruchnitz, if a person's mind is really occupied with worry, the person's mind is occupied, he has problems to solve, he cannot dedicate his mind in service to Hashem. The mind is only there. He can't think about two things at the same time, and it'll take over. The tsar of a person, the worry of a person, just takes over. And then he certainly will not be able to be mechaveh, and to be able to dedicate and to focus in his avodas Hashem. So what you need is, to be a true avodas Hashem, you need tranquility. You need menuchas hanefesh. What will give you menuchas hanefesh if you have b'tochen b'Hashem? K'moy shoh eved chayel l'ftoyach al adoino. In the same way that an eved, of course, as we find, is obligated to rely on his master, right? So the same way, a yid also, eved, we also avodim. We're avodim to Hashem. So an eved, right? What's an eved rely on? An eved relies on. He doesn't worry about his room and board. He knows that his master gives him everything that he needs. He has to work, and his master will give him. This is the teva of the eved relationship with the other. The same thing we do. We are avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the same thing that an eved relies on his master, who is our master. Our master is one and only. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he points out it gets worse than that on the other side. He says this is the positive side to be a Baal B'toch. You zoyche to menuchas hanefesh. That's just one of it. He has many, many more. But nipnei. This is a frightening thing, he says. In other words, first of all, also. In other words, if you're not b'teir v'lekim, so obviously you rely on something else. What do you rely on? Well, you rely on other human beings. Because it's obvious, a person cannot live in isolation. So if you can't live in isolation, so obviously, even in your parnasa, certainly you see that, you have to rely on people. You make phone calls, right? So your success depends who's going to pick up the phone, what's going to be the reaction on the other side of the phone. If you need a car, right? You're relying on the car. The car shouldn't break down. You can rely on human beings. You can rely on other things material. The point is, if you're not relying on the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're relying on something as a substitute. So what's the upshot of that? What's the consequence of that? If you rely on a substitute, he says, "U'mishu b'teach bezulis Hashem, meisir holikim hashgechosoi ma'olov, u'meniach oiso b'yavmishu b'tacholov." It's a frightening thing. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, listen, you're relying on the boss of your company. You're relying on the CEO of the company. He guarantees your success. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I remove my Heshbach from you. I remove my providence from you. Philosophy of Chafen can be in his hands. And see where it takes you. By the way, sometimes you have to be matliya for a certain time. But now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is out of the picture in terms of this nekudah. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Meniach oisa b'yavni shebot acholo. Which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves and takes the Heshbach. And Mamela, he now is thrown to the hands of whom he trusts. You trust in that person? Okay. So, go and trust in him. See how far that will get you. And I'm out. The year commissioner, my boy. And Mamela points out that this person will end up, as the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu. Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Ki shtayim rois osa ami. It was a period, in fact, that the Yidden did, says the Novi, the Novi bemoans the fact that Yidden did two avos. They did two bad things. They did two evil things. What are the two little things? Oisi ozvu mekor maim chayim. That they left me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mekor maim chayim. It's a fresh source of fresh water. It's a bubbly spring that continues to bring forth always fresh water. It's a mushroom. Imagine a person who has two choices. He has a fresh spring of bubbly water. And instead he decides he's going to dig a dry well. And he digs. And instead of utilizing what's mamish in front of him, which is Mekor Maim Chayim, what you did was Lachzoid Lohem, where they went us to hew and to dig Bayrois Nishbarim, to go and to dig for themselves cracked Bayrois. Bayrois, of course, if it's a cracked bar, of course, even if there would be something, it wouldn't, it would just go right through. It wouldn't be able to hold it. So what are the two outlets? The two outlets is magic. If a person substitutes a Kodesh Baruch Hu, at least let it be a useful substitute. Let it be a profitable substitute.
But A, he abandons Hashem.
Oh, so Yosu. And what did you take as a substitute? You took Boyer is Nishbaran. That's a double avodah. That's what the Novi points out. And by the way, that's always the way it's going to be. Because no matter what you choose, in the case of a well, but the person abandons the Kodesh Baruch Hu and puts his betokhan on something else, the emotional is no different than having mamish in front of you. You have a Mekor Mayim Chayim. Instead of utilizing the Mekor Mayim Chayim, you go and you start to dig broken and cracked virus and expect that this is going to bring you Hatzlacha. Abi Omar, he says, take a look at Tehillim. And Tehillim has mentioned also such a thing. Tehillim also, David HaMelech bemoans this fact. Pasuk says, "Vayomiru es kevoidom betavnis shoyer oichel eisei." The Pasuk says that the Yidden, this is referring to the Chet O'Egel, that he imagined the Chet O'Egel. So here again, what they did is that they exchanged their covet. Their covet means it referred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kozman, that they were connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was of course that they basked in the glory of Hashem. But they substituted it, betavnis shoyer oichel eisei, of course, in the image of a bull that eats grass. Again, here it shows. Furthermore, he says, "Bomer Hakosov," says the Posik, "Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach B'Hashem." He says, "Blessed is the person, or fortunate is the person who trusts in Hashem." V'Hoy Hashem Yiftachoy. With the purpose of all this Taichus, this Posik. One is the consequence of the other. In other words, "Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach B'Hashem." That blessed is the person who trusts in Hashem, because V'Hoy Hashem Yiftachoy, because then Hashem Yiftach will be his source of pride, meaning because then he can rely on Hashem. Because otherwise, what did the Chavis of say before? Baruch said, look, you're trusting somebody else. I remove my Ashgokah. So who's going to be your trust? That other person. But V'hoi Hashem Miftachoy, there's Agdom. You want Hashem to be your Miftachoy. You want to find refuge in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hoi Hashem Miftachoy. So it starts with Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach B'Hashem. If your person is Yiftach B'Hashem, then in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to your aid. HaKadosh will there, he'll stand beside you. But where are you? Where are you in the equation? You in the equation, you want Hashem to stand beside you? So Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach B'Hashem, you have to have the betochen. Go on, the pasuk says further, that Asher HaGever Asher Som Hashem Miftachoy, that happy is the person who trusts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the pasuk says, Lo'ipon El Rehovit, and he did not turn to arrogant people. Arrogant people are those that say, trust me, you can rely on me, I'll take care of it. The person who saw Hashem Miftachoy, who places Hashem as the source of trust, he's someone who does not turn to the arrogant people, Vesote Chosos, and those basically who stray with falsehood. And the Omar again apostle Yermi, Or HaGever Asher Yiftach B'Adam. Here comes a very strong on the other side. We have the Baruch side. But Or HaGever Asher Yiftach B'Hashem. He says, curses the person, Asher Yiftach B'Adam, the son Bosar Zroyoi, and the Bosar becomes his might. His physical strength, he makes that. He says, "Min Hashem Yosel Liboy." All right. So again, so he starts out the Chavis Abolis. So B'Tokhin, he says, is very essential. He says to Avodis Alekim. Is very essential in Avodis Alekim, and I place that after Avodis Hashem, because the Chavis Abolis then says, so a person says, "I'm a great Chokham. I'm a great Chokham, and I can figure things out on my own, and I trust my Chokhmah." So he says, "Im Yiftach Al Chokhmosav Yitach Buloisov." If a person relies on his chokmah and on his strategies and on his plans, the koyach gufoy, and he relies on his physical goof, hishtadlusoy, he relies on his hishtadlus. I want you to know, yigal arik. The end result is that he's going to labor in vain. You can rely on your chokmah, you can rely on your own hishtadlus, yigal arik, v'yechlash koychoy, your koyach will fail, v'tikzar tachbulosoy mehasi chepsoy. And all of his chokhmah's tragedy will be short. It will fall short from reaching and achieving his goal. Kashom HaKosov, the Pasuk says, and here, Loiked Chachomim Biyormom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu traps the shrewd with their trickery. The shrewd people think that they're so smart, and they become trapped in their own chokhmah. Biyormom, we go further. And Kehelas, it says, Shafti V'ro'oi Tachas HaShemesh. So Melech says, I looked around and I saw the people are successful. Rabbi Yisai. Not every CEO of the company has the biggest IQ. The story of this, Dal Tamazet, people were Machabin Ashirim, so that's the usual Minagoyla. So what happened when the guy lost his money? People stopped
being mechadon him. So he says, no, I lost my money, but I still have my chokhmah, he says. What? So he says, Shlomo Melech says, Kiloy lakalim hameirus. He says, those that run the fastest are not those, he says, that are the most light on their feet always. Kiloy lakibayr hamelchomah. Those that win the war are not always the gibayr. There are other factors. The gam loy lakachomim lechem. And also he says, not everybody who is a chokham has the bread to eat. Find the greatest chachomim, nebuchadneim nevyoyim. Certainly in Oilam HaTorah, you see that. But in the Goyshev, you find bad professors, and bad, they're out of a job, they're not the ones who are materialism, that they should be the ones. But gam loy lachachomim lechem. The Yom HaLepotik says, kifirim roshu bereibu. Plus, kifirim are the young lions. It means that you have the mighty ones. You can be mighty, and yet you can be poor and hungry. And yet, the Dorish Hashem is el yachsu kol toiv. And those who see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they lack nothing. Rav Shon Shadron used to say many times, it doesn't say that they're going to have everything. But Dorish Hashem, those who see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're not going to be missing anything. Because why? Because their purpose in life is such that what usual people find as a chisaron, they don't see it as a chisaron. Because that's not what they're liking. Shalom used to always give a moshul. He used to say that someone went to visit someone and showed him around the whole house. And he had a lot of things that were interesting to see. He showed him his living room, showed him his dining room, showed him his fancy furniture, sort of thing. And he also took him into the bathroom and showed him the medicine cabinet. And everything else, he shows him that he has five rows filled with medicines. And when he leaves, he says to him, would you like to have everything that I have? He says, that medicine cabinet, he says, I don't need it. He said, you need it, but I don't need it. Shalom said that the same way that a person who is not sick doesn't need the medicine, says, El Chayit and the Dorish Hashem don't have the need for all the gashmitic things other people have. So it doesn't say the Dorish Hashem that they have everything. So Dorish Hashem says, well, they don't feel the void. They don't feel the concern in their life. He says that if a person will rely on the Reib of his Ashiris, look what he says. At the end of the day, if you rely on your Ashiris, on your wealth, Yusa mimenu biyishor lezolosoi. It will be taken from him and will be left to someone else. Gveshor HaKosu. The Pesuk says, Oshir yishkav lo yeyosef. The Pesuk says, the rich man might be bedridden, right? And he didn't die. He happened to be bedridden and he wakes up. But when he wakes up, eino pokak v'inenu. But he wakes up and finds out that all the wealth is gone. Then the quid is, 1 minute it could be here, the next minute it's no longer here. V'yomar, there's another pasuk. Mishlei, you see the command of Pesukim that he has. Al tiga lahashir says, do not toil to get wealthy. Do not toil. Don't exert yourself. Don't overexert yourself to get wealthy. Mibinoscho chadol, and from your own havana chadol means hold back. Desist from thinking that it's your chokhmah that's going to give you ashiris. V'yomar, another pasuk. Mishlei, hasoif enecho boy. He says, a person, even before you can put your eyes on it, hasoif enecho means you can rest your eyes on it, veineno, it's not here. 1 minute you see it, 1 minute it's not here anymore. The Yomar and Yirmiyahu Novi, we find, says, Yirmi says, kechatzi yom av yazvenu. Yirmiyahu Novi points out and says that at a young age it'll leave him, ubachriso yenovo, and at his end it said it'll be a disgrace. Or he says, oitimona mimeno hanosaboy. It could be that a person can have everything, but you know what, he won't be able to enjoy it. You have people that have so much, he says, what do I need all this? I can't enjoy it. He can't walk, or he doesn't have teeth, he can't eat, he's sick, he's not allowed to. You can have everything in the world, but you won't be able to enjoy it. Kashom Rachol comes, we find. The Pesuk says in Kehelet, V'lo yashlitenu v'likim, Shlomo Melech says, v'erchol memelech. V'lo yashlitenu v'likim lechem me'akav, Yibroch will not give him the power to enjoy it. How does this farm say, the Balamusa say, Yaakovinu has, he said, V'lo tzam lim, yilikim imodim, because Yibroch will be with me, Paisa v'yetze. And often they lechem lechol. The Baruch will give me bread to eat. We're begging lilbush. Rabbi Sai, why do you have to say lechem lechol? What else do you do with bread? Why do you say begging lilbush? What do you do with the begging? You should say and often they lechem. We're begging. You have to tell me what to do with the lechem. Rabbi Sai, many people have bread, but they can't eat it. They can't digest it. They don't have teeth. But not suddenly lechem lechol. Give me bread, but let me. Give me the opportunity, the ability to be able to eat that bread. We're begging little boys. People can have 10 suits in the closet. Can't enjoy it. They can't go out of the house. They're stuck. They're confined. No? So what does he have with all this clothing? So we're begging little boys. Give me the health. Give me the wherewithal. Give me the ability to eat the bread. The Chavis above is telling you that you can have a lot of things, but
but yet at the end of the day you may not be able to enjoy it.
So what's all that wealth about that you have?
It's a pikadon that someone else who is really worthy will come, and you will become the channel to give it further. Until he says it's returned to the one who is appropriate. As we find that is a pasuk in Kehelis. So these are the basic inyonim, as he says, just for now. We're going to stop here. We're going to go to the sheet just to show you, to point out, say some wonderful things. And with the background of here of the previous Avodas, we're going to find out, first of all, we can take a look at a Shtikel Ramchal. You have to realize that we're talking to something that's discussed in all the great Sifrei Musar. And we find out, you take the first item on the sheet, Rabbi Yisai. That Ramchal is Perek Chaf Aleph. Let's take a look at it. Ramchal says like this, what he says. If a person wants to preserve what he has, you know what's the best preserve? Shmirah, bitachim. The locks on your door, that's not the greatest shmirah in the world, he says. The locks on the door is not going to guarantee that you remain with what you have. He says, Mashiyucha lishmer to odom yisrael habitachim, v'sheyashlich Yehovah el Hashem legamre. A person throws his burden upon Hashem. Hashem has big places. Throw the burden on him. Ba'asher yeida ki vaday yi'echshe le'odom. First of all, I have to know that it's impossible that you should lose that which is fixed, men ha-shemayim, no one can take away from you. No one can take away from you. Because Shomru Chazal, the Mamoreim, Kol Mezonoisov, Chelodim, Kitzuvalim, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. All of his Mezonis are fixed. V'chein Omru, Ein Odom, Chazal, Seim, Sertes Yumo, Ein Odom, Noigeya, B'muchin, Chavera, Akil, Kamloi, Nimo. Not even a hair's breadth can someone touch in that which is Muchin to you. So he points out. So the truth is, if not for the chet of Adam Arishin Taka, we wouldn't have to do anything. If the haknas l'chol b'nei Adam b'zeh sapecho toich alechem, after Al came, so because of the gzera, but what does the gzera mean? What does b'zeh sapecho toich alechem? Amchal wants to define. What does b'zeh sapecho toich alechem mean? After Al came, because of the gzera, chayv Adam l'ishtadl, eizeh ishtadl tzor upon his osoy. Shekein goza olav hamelech ha'elyoi, v'harezeh kemas, like paying a tax. Harezeh kemas shepereya kol haminu hanushi. All of the human species pays like as if it's a tax, as you any moment that you can't get out of it. So you have to do some ishtabas. Alkin omru, therefore the Gemara says, Yochal, I would have thought, after the Yoshe bottle. The Potik says, the brachticha b'chol ha'shetase. If it would only say brachticha, I would have thought, sit bottle, tamaloymer b'chol ha'shetase. Achloi shahishtadlus v'amoyer. Look what he says. But the ishtadlus that you have to do, that's not what brings you to the profit. And as ishtadlus mukhra, you have to do the ishtadlus. The gives ishtadlus hara yotze dechay vosar. The different madregas in this, of course, Rabbi Yisrael. And we're going to see, come up for Yeshua, we're going to see that the madrega, how much ishtadlus a person has to do is totally in how big his betokhan is. In other words, the person cannot jump the gun either. The person can say, okay, I'm going to work a half an hour a day, and if you're real about betokhan, then it's shy for you. If you're really not in that madrega, it's not for you. We're going to point it out from different forms, we're going to see that. So the level of ishtadlus. But no matter how much ishtadlus you're doing, he says, but the makor of your bracha, he says, is not from the ishtadlus. Ishtadlus is there you have to do. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you what he has to give you. From your eye, it appears that this is the way it works. He also says that the Baal Shem Tov was very poor. This goes back in the early Tekufa. And he took his wagon and horses. He had a famous driver. Who took him, and he went to a particular little village, and he goes to a particular house, stops over there, knocks on the door, and goes back home. And whatever he needed, he got. They said, what's the pshat? He says, where'd you go? He says, I had to have a chiv ishtadlus. My ishtadlus was to knock on the door. My ishtadlus was not that he opens the door and gives me. This is my ishtadlus. He figured out that this was the extent of his ishtadlus. It's very active ishtadlus. Whatever the ishtadlus is, but as he points out, that a person should not think that the Hishtadlus hu amoyel. Rav Moshe Sternberg tells a personal story in the Sefer Talmud Das. And the Talmud growing up, he grew up in England, in London. Growing up in England, he says, and he learned in the yeshiva of Moshe Schneider. Schneider was either tzaddik, kechoshe bal musa. Anybody knows Moshe Sternberg, he's a tremendous Talmud Chochom, but he's a very big battler. Mamish is not, he's not sure what's going around beside Mamish, he's Talmud Amis. Interesting thing was that he said, so Mashgiach of the Yeshiva, Moshe Schneider, came over to him and says, Moshe, he says, I want you to go
particular night, says to go make money for the yeshiva. The last person you want to send to make money fundraising is the Moshe Shtermer. There's no bigger problem going on. So what can you do? He says, Meshkiach told me he has to go, so he went. So he took a car, and he had a list of people. So his mazel, he says, none of the people on the list were home. Nobody was home. He said, I came back, and not only I didn't make any money for the yeshiva, I didn't even cover the expenses. I didn't go, I said, too embarrassed to say anything to the Mashgiach, I didn't say anything. Then he didn't ask me, and I didn't say anything. He says, 2 weeks later, he says, the Mashgiach from Moshe Schneider comes over, and says, Moshe, Baldig is going to you. He takes out a check. It's a check of $10,000. Moshe looks at it, he says, Mashgiach. He says, Tari Mashgiach, says, I don't know this person. I never saw this person. I never even visited this person. So he says, foolish one, he says. Do you think that the bracha comes from the soul? You did the shtamlus 2 weeks ago. You went around collecting money for the yeshiva. And I got a bracha who sent the check from someplace else. The bracha does not come dafke from the mikor of the shtamlus. Your shtamlus brought this check. This is a lesson in bitochen. This is a lesson in the chiddush shtamlus. I do my shtamlus. But the hatzlacha is not necessarily from the same source. And that's what Mamshu Ramachal is saying. V'loy ha-shtablus wa-amoyim. It's not the shtablus that really does it. Satan Ruf wants a taish, he says. There's a posuk, there's two psukim in Tehillim. One posuk in Tehillim says, K'yamoy l'min avyoin. If Shmoh stands by the right side of the avyoin. Shmoh stands by the right side of the avyoin. And another posuk says, Tikvas aniyim toiv ablayam. That the hope of the aniyim will be lost. Now, if aniyim are hoping, it will be lost. How could it be? One posuk says, Ki yamid li yamin evyun, because Shmogu stands by the right side of the Oni. Did not let him fall. The other posuk says, Tikvas aniyim toiv ablayam. The Zatruf said, he said, there's no stira whatsoever. There's no question, he says, Ki yamid li yamin evyun, because Shmogu stands by the right side of the aniyim, and Shmogu will help him. But Tikvas aniyim, but the Oni makes his boyness, oh, my Yeshua will come from here. My Yeshua will come from here. That's toiv ablayam. You can't figure out where it's going to come from. Tikvas aniyim, the Oni makes his boyness. He says, where's it most likely? Where's it most likely? Oni says, Mustonda from here. That's Toyra Dayab. Kiyav of the Minevi. Kiyav is going to stand by your side. But Tikvas aniyim, but the Tikva, the hope that the Oni makes his boyness, the Davke from here is going to come, my Yeshua. You can't figure out where Kojbok's Yeshua comes from. So Machal continues on further. And he says, Kvayesh Mokom, he says, Lebirche Shemaim Shetishmolo. Once he did Yushtablis, so you have the Mokom, he says, of the Birche Shemaim, that to rest upon. We're a little bit gechapped here by the clock, so I want to conclude, Rabbi Yisai. Keep the sheet, we'll be mamshe effective. So if you come back, take the sheet anyway. We'll try because there's some kosher stuff we have no time to do. I have to tell you something, a moiriger thing. It's mamshe moiriger thing. And I think this really puts in the picture a little bit of our schola to understand what B'tochen is all about. Everybody knows that the Shnei B'nai Aharon died on the Hebrew Mashmini on the day of the Akomas HaMishkan. Aharon HaKohen lost his two sons, Nadav Avihu. The Pesuk says, Vatetzeh Eishim Lifnei Hashem, that a fire came out before Hashem, Vatoich HaLoisom, and consumed them, Nadav Avihu. You have to realize this was one of the greatest simchis in Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says that the day of Akomas HaMishkan, the Gemara says in Sefer Megillah, was, Godly says, the day of Akomas HaMishkan, was K'yoyim Shenivra Voishamayim B'yoret, so says the Gemara. Hakomas HaMishkan was such a simche, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had, the Gemara says, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created heaven and earth, the Gemara makes Ezeber Shoveh. It says, Vahi Er Vahi Boiker, and it says, Vahi Beyer Mashmini. So, Vahi Beyer Mashmini, and here it says, Vahi Er Vahi Boiker. The case here, Bria Soilo. Precious, we just learned it. Just had it. So, Avada, this was a tremendous, tremendous day of simche. In addition, Ahara Koyin on that day was invested as the Koyin Godel. Not only Ahara Koyin was invested as a Koyin Godel, his sons were to be elevated to be Kohen. The naches was tremendous. The joy was something that you could feel in the air. The naches and the simche, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had, Klal Yisrael had, Aharon HaKohen had. It was, as one can say, in one moment, Aharon HaKohen experiences the greatest tragedy of his life. And two of his sons, Nadav and Avihu, they die on Kiddush Hashem. One cannot imagine, it goes without saying, the tremendous tsar and the grief that overwhelmed him, of course, and what went through in all of the hargoshes, but the Torah tells us, nevertheless, Aharon HaKohen, v'yidei Aharon. Aharon HaKohen, he kept quiet, he was silent, he didn't express his grief, didn't complain, says the Pasuk. He remains passive, remains quiet, v'yidei
is Loshen Evan Doimen. He remains still as a stone. No movement, no expression. He was totally accepting of the Gzeirah of Shemayim. How do you do it? How do you do it? It's Emunah B'Tochen. It's Emunah B'Tochen. Why am I mentioning this? Why did I mention this? Rabban Kotler, Zichrono Livracha, everybody knows as being one of the greatest Marbitz in Torah, of course, of all time, putting away the Yesoides of Torah in America. Rabbi Aaron's Emunah and B'Tochen is something that has to be brought out to the forefront. In addition to all of the other gathers of Rabban, and he would talk, by the way, if you take a look and say for Mishnah's Rabban, you'll find out many of the Mamorim, he deals a lot also with B'Tochen itself. But the Nekud is like this. The Nekud is that Rabban, as you see, when Chazal said something, him there was no question. Now, Chazal said it, there's no question. I'm reminded of him saying this. I was sitting many years ago with the Tuvia Goldstein, in front of Rocha. Imagine the same table. Just during the summer, and Tuvia Goldstein, as you know, was a neighbor of Reb Moshe, on the east side, very close with Reb Moshe. And he said that there was an article brought to him in a newspaper regarding klirish and klishein. In other words, the Chazal says when you cook something in its original pot over the fire, that's called a klirish, it's very hot, and it's capable of cooking whatever inside. Once you pour it into a second kli, into a second vessel, right, it's called a klisheini. In halokh and hilchi Shabbos, klisheini is ein mabash. Does not have the koyach. Now, it's sticking your finger, it'll burn yourself, so don't try it. But in halokh, whatever bishul, whatever cooking is supposed to mean halakhically, klisheini does not have it. So Tuvia brings to the Moshe, he brings them an art newspaper article, where someone wrote an article. Look, klisheini, he says, with all of the tests that they made scientifically, accomplishes exactly the same thing what a klirishin does. So he wanted to tear us from Reb Moshe. He says, how did he explain Chazal say Ein Mabashel? So Tuvia tells me, what Reb Moshe did? Chazal say Ein Mabashel, say Ein Mabashel. He wouldn't bother to explain it. He says, Chazal say Ein Mabashel. Show me it. It's not important. Chazal say, I don't have the preference then. I don't have to find Chazal say Ein Mabashel. This is what it says and that's what it is. I didn't bother. How does it work out? I was interested. Chazal said in Mavashel, said in Zayin Mavashel. After World War II, we know that the Vivad Hatzolah, Rabban was very much involved with the Vivad Hatzolah. It was a relief rescue organization. It was sponsored by, not Agudas Yisrael, Agudas Rabban. Agudas Rabban at the time. And the Rosh Yeshivas were involved. And the idea was, by the way, the idea was to bring refugees to America. And many of them were in Europe, still in DP camps. And they were working to bring refugees, bring them back to America, and to be able to rebuild their shattered lives. Problem was that the United States had established a quota on immigration. And as a result, the VAD was able to convince the State Department, to make a dispensation for Rabbonim, at least, for clergy, and include the Yeshiva Talmidim in the category. Sure. But Lemaise, so the State Department agreed to that. But in Germany, it might be with a difficulty. It had a large section of it, Tamida Yeshiva, one of the larger DP camps. The Governor General of the district in which that camp was located refused to recognize students as rabbis. He refused. He refused to recognize the students as rabbis, and therefore they won't be given permission to leave. So it turns out Rabban did some investigation. He finds out that there was a Rabbi Rosenberg who lived in Hartford, Connecticut. Who was a friend of the general. What do you mean? So Rabban, therefore, felt it was imperative that this Rabbi Rosenberg meets this as the general to release the Talmidim. So he's a friend of his. Maybe he can convince him. Rabban doesn't waste a minute. Just Jewish lives that they hung in the balance. He called Rabbi Rosenberg, asked him to come to the VAD office, which he did. After explaining the situation, so Rabban said to him that request that he immediately flies to Europe in order to arrange the release of the Talmidim. Rabbi Rosenberg agreed, but he said he had to first go home and he had to attend to some things. Rabban said, you can't go home. You're here. Whatever you have on your clothes and your back, if you're leaving now, it's because nefesh, time is of the essence. But Rabbi, I don't even have a ticket. Rabban took from his drawer a ticket from a military flight. He had everything ready. No excuses. He had the ticket ready. He takes out a ticket and he leaves to Europe. After meeting the general, so Rabbi Rosenberg brings up the fact that he's detaining a group of rabbis in the DP camp. The general didn't agree with the claim. In fact, he says, when he asked the yeshiva to me, yes, come here, he asked the talmidim, are you rabbis? They said, no, we're not rabbis. You're not rabbis, you don't qualify. So Rabbi Rosenberg went to see these talmidim, and investigated, he finds out these were Navarika talmidim. The Navarika talmidim who insisted always to rely on the Kodesh Baruch Hu, b'toch, that to do any little dry shema, even with tkoch nefesh. So any little dry that would mean that we'd have to somehow maybe bend the truth of somehow, saying that they're rabbis, they're the Navarikas. The Mela says, not only b'tochen on Hashem. So therefore they push it, that's what happened. And Mela, they shunned any trace of gaida and any trace of falsehood, and so on and so forth. So they could not present themselves as rabbis. Once Rabbi Rosenberg heard this, he went over to his friend, he was a friend of the council. He went over and explained to him, this is the shit that they're working on. He said, but then he said, they are rabbis. So they both laughed, and the yeshiva students were free to go. Rabbi Sai, tragedy struck, the plane crashed into the Atlantic Ocean, leaving no survivors. The army sent a telegram to Mrs. Rosenberg, the Redison, informing her of the tragedy. She immediately ran to her barn, brokenhearted, but she had the presence of mind to ask, what do I do now? He didn't find the body. Do I sit shiva? Am I an aguna? She asked. Her barn's response was, Rabbi Sai, incredible. Her barn says, es ken nicht sein. It can't be that your husband is dead. She said, but Rabbi, I have a telegram from the army. Rabbi says, I don't care. He says, Chazal say shluchei mitzvah einu nuzokim. That shluchei mitzvah do not get harmed, and there's no greater mitzvah than what he did. Hatzolus nefashos b'koach nefesh saving Jewish lives. Agents of the mitzvah cannot be harmed. She was not that kind of a baal d'tochen that Rabbi was. She went home somewhat upset. She didn't know if she was coming or going. Was the husband alive, possibly, like Rabbi was saying? 3 days later, the phone rings. She almost fainted. Her husband was on the line. But the plane crashed. There are no survivors. I saw your name on the list in the New York Times, she says to her husband. What happened? So he says he stopped in Gibraltar to say Kaddish, so he took another flight. But he also said for his mother. This is Emunah B'Tochen. This is Emunah B'Tochen. This is the Koyach of Rabbi Arni. I believe that this is not a separate thing, but I think that was the whole Koyach. I think if the Kabbalah says that Avodas Elokim is dependent on B'tochen, that's where Rabbi Arni was the great Oved Hashem. That's where Rabbi Arni was the great Moshe Nefesh in building Klal Yiddishkeit because of the B'tochen, not a secondary B'tochen. Alavai, Rabbi Yisrael, we should have a little bit of schus to follow.